This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
It's time now for another sight loss story, and I'm joined by Natalie Holford, who's made the jump from RNIB customer to RNIB volunteer. Natalie, thanks for speaking to us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Could you just start by telling us a little bit about the eye condition that you have?
I have eye conditions which are related to Marfan syndrome, which is a connective tissue disease that I was born with. And so far, I've had congenital cataracts. So I was born this way. And the cataracts have been taken out, but no new lenses have been replaced because another part of the illness is very sensitive retinas. So I've had two detached retinas. They've managed to cobble a bit back on one eye. Then I had a stroke in 2017, which affected the visual area. And I think I've got a bit of nerve damage as well. So all in all, a bit of a mixed bag.
Now, thinking back, how did you find school and education, living with sight loss but not having the support that maybe could have made a difference to you? How did you adapt?
I was born way back in the 1960s. And because this condition was in my family, my dad was partially sighted and my uncle was blind. And my parents wanted me to be normal. And so they didn't really access any support services for me except to ask the teachers to let me sit at the front of the class, which the teachers, I don't think, understood. So it was quite difficult. I wasn't allowed to play any sports because I never knew when the ball was coming and always had bits of sticky tape around my glasses.
And did you find that you had to make changes to the way that you learnt in the classroom?
All of us folks who've got a disability become very clever at finding other ways of doing things. So maybe that makes us very, very creative. But yeah, it was maybe I got told off for talking to the person next to me so that they could explain things to me. But yes, you do become very creative.
After you were certified as severely sight impaired in April 2019, some of your early support came from a rehabilitation officer for visual impairment. What was that experience like, maybe finally getting some of that support that you needed?
I suppose I didn't really think I needed a load of support. It seems that until you get into the world of what's there, you don't realise quite what you were missing. But I tried to cross a road and I'd nearly got run over. So I'd had to call back to social services, ask for an emergency contact to the rehab officer. But when she came round, she listened to me and we had a walk around the home. And it started off not about my mobility, but about my safety in the home. And it was so person focused, all about what I needed. And then we went on to other aspects of mobility and she introduced the white cane. I didn't really think I needed and I didn't really want because it was a sign of my disability and I thought it would make me vulnerable. And it actually has put a lot more control in my hands, literally in my hands.
And what are some of the ways that using that white cane has made a difference to your everyday life?
I think, first of all, I don't fall down curbs because I would go marching across the road but not know where the curb was and was always ending up in the gutter, always ending up in the gutter. So I realised that it gave me control over where I was going. I could walk a lot faster, even though I still have some physical difficulties from the stroke. I realised my walking was better. But also, people came up and asked if I wanted help. It was a sign to people, a bit like the sunflower lanyard could tell people that you might need a little bit of extra help.
What about technology? Are there any gadgets that you use to help in your day-to-day life?
My rehab officer gave me a little water level indicator, which is really useful. Although sometimes I'm a prima donna and just ask people to pour my drinks for me. But also she explained some of the technology that was available. She gave me a scales, kitchen scales, because at the time I was making bread. And one of the most useful things, I think most people that I've spoken to find, the little bump-ons, the little raised bubbles that you can put on microwaves or cookers or washing machines to show where to turn the dial to. They're really useful. They're very simple, very useful things. The other great thing is my phone. I am so happy that I grasped the nettle and bought myself a phone that can do more or less everything for me. And it's got lots of accessibility features. I know that other phones are available, but I've got an iPhone, and I must say I've had an iPhone for probably about 10 years. So I've got to grips with it. I know that other people in the sight loss community use other aspects of its accessibility. And I would encourage people to talk to others about widening their knowledge or passing their knowledge on.
And you mentioned about sharing knowledge there. Can you tell us about your role as an RNIB facilitator on the Living Well with Sight Loss course? How did that come about?
It came about by me actually attending a course during the pandemic via Zoom way back. I'd become a member of a social group for VI people called iMatter in London, even though I'm in Staffordshire. That's the great thing about technology. And they ran a course, and it was so useful. Not just, I think every time you go through one of these courses, you learn something from the other people attending, but it covers all the major areas and signposts quite often back to RNIB specialist help. But it was just mind-boggling, and I thought that's something that I would like to do.
And how does it feel for you to be able to offer that practical support to people who really need it?
As I say, every time that you go through a course, I learn something, and I think my coordinator also learns something, because people bring so many different things to the table. But I think sometimes it's so satisfying for the almost instant reward that you get from somebody having a question answered. One very poignant example was a lady who we just told her about Charles Bonnet syndrome, and she kept asking, so it's not that you're going mad? And I said, no, it's a condition that people with very low vision can sometimes have. And she started to cry because she said her family thought that she had got dementia or was mentally unstable. And so we arranged for some paperwork to be sent out so that she could show her family that it was an eye condition. And, you know, the change that that made to that lady opening a line of inquiry was quite shaking.
And we mentioned one example there. What do you hope that people get out of the Living Well with Sight Loss course?
I think it's a start, a really good start point. I think there are so many areas that are discussed: the daily living, the mobility, the fun that you can have, accessibility, benefits, all the sorts of things that people might or might not have thought about. But it also leads on to how local help can be obtained, or back to all the different services that the RNIB has, and further groups that people can join, so that they're not left hanging at the end of the Living Well with Sight Loss course.
And do you have any advice for people who might just be starting their sight loss journey?
Don't hide it. I think I tried to hide my sight loss, and now I look back, I wish that I'd gone for registration, certification a lot earlier, because it would have opened assistance in work. I might have been able to carry on working effectively in the jobs that I'd chosen for a lot longer. Hook up with the sight loss community, because it's not all talking about doom and gloom and conditions. It's very forward, helpful people who will empathise but also help you when you're ready to take the next steps into whatever it is, mobility or technology. Very friendly people, even online or over the telephone. Don't think that you're excluded. There are telephone groups that you can join. Again, through the RNIB, you can make friends.
Well, lots of great advice there. Natalie Holford, thanks for speaking to us today and sharing your sight loss story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.